You're listening to In the Moment
with Liv and Bix.
Hey, it's Liv.
And Bix, and you're listening to In the Moment with Liv and Bix, a podcast for unsuccessful actors.
By unsuccessful actors.
Welcome back, everybody.
Not for long. Oh, I'm going to say that every time.
Oh, yeah, hopefully not for long. Seriously, guys. It's rough out here.
Yes. But I hope everyone, by the way, had a great Thanksgiving. I know that just passed.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving. I feel like the holidays this year have, like, unless it's just my For You page, like, being catered to me so specifically, but all the videos that I'm getting are, like, how to cope this holiday season with seeing family. How to, like, you know, like, navigate hard, difficult conversations with racist family members. And just, like, all of this, like, everybody is just freaking out about the holidays and having to see extended family and having to, or immediate family. It's like, it's a fucking rough time.
Yeah, it is. It is a rough time. And especially when Trump made his announcement right before Thanksgiving holidays. So everybody's like, damn, the fucking timing. Why? Like, you know, when you're actually, like, you're kind of obligated to see people that you might not necessarily see.
Yeah, now it's
see.
Like, great, now my fucking stupid uncle is going to bring this shit up and I'm going to have to get pissed and leave and smoke a joint across the street in the children's park, come back crying. My mom's going to yell at me for ruining the fucking day. And then I'm going to go back home and feel guilty for a year until we do it all over again.
Until we do it all over again. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I saw so many videos about that, too. My favorite is this video going around with when they get up from the dinner table really dramatically. When they ask you, like, when are you going to have a baby? And she, like, gets up. They're like, when they ask you, like, how's that acting thing going? And they get up and they're like, yeah.
Oh, my God. We talked about this a little, like, I didn't see my family. I stayed in California and spent it with my boyfriend's family that came in. So I didn't really have to deal with, like, a lot of that, like, the questions. But
yes,
I will be back in New York soon and it's coming. So I'm ramping up for it.
Same thing, Bix. I just spent it. Our Thanksgiving was very small, actually. So it was just like my parents, my brother, my aunt, and then my boyfriend. So to be honest, yeah, I didn't have to deal with any, like, questions being thrown my way, so. Mm-hmm.
Nothing intense.
Yeah, it's just people I see all the time, so.
Good for us.
Yeah, I was like.
We got off clean.
Just like, yeah.
But I did see that you filmed, did we mention that you, because it all happened so fast that you
lost
that role?
I don't think so. And then,
well, tell everybody, that's so funny that, like, it happened so fast that we didn't even talk about it.
It's an emotional roller coaster. No, but so I was just cast in this film. And basically what had happened was I work with Stephanie and Kalani. I've worked with on many projects before. And they own Galaxy Visual Productions. And the film that we were going to do, as you know, fell through. And we explained why. But basically Kalani was working on another script. And he was like, you know what? I think you'd be perfect for this role. So that's actually what happened. He was like, this is the script that I was working on while I was working on The Squatchers. And he goes, mm-hmm. And I know that's on pause right now, but I feel like you'd be great for this role.
So was it like The Squatchers, right?
Yeah, that was the other one. Yeah.
So was it that like The Squatchers was just what made it that this movie they could put into production?
Got it.
But The Squatchers, like, had to be put on hold.
The Squatchers is a really big script in the sense that there is, like, elements that you need kind of, like, we were talking about this before, but the proper, like, I guess, like, CGI, the proper equipment, the proper
tools. You're, like, executing it
the right way. To execute many scenes in that film that, like, there's a whole, just for an example, there's a whole scene with a car flipping over and getting tossed around.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And, yeah, and I know Kalani and his other films, and he really does execute that adventure, kind of like Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park kind of feel, which I get, but that those kind of really big adventure films, which are done at a much, like, grander scale, like the stunts and stuff like that, and he really does execute that so well. So it's like you can't go from releasing such a wonderful film, which he did before, which is Plunder Quest, and then I understand, and then going to film The Squatchers and not executing it at the same standard. Right. So that's really where that happened. And with this film, there's not so much of that. So he is able to do it on a smaller budget and make it at the same quality.
Right, right.
So that's really like why this script was able to come to light sooner than The Squatchers. And it's not the Squatchers' idea is dead. It's just he did have to put it on pause so that he can do it the right way. Yeah. So that's really what happened, Vix. And the name of this new film, it's called Sky Hoshi Anime Girl. And it is on IMDb now. And we are going to start filming. Well, we already started filming. We did one day of filming. I was the first day of filming. I saw it.
Looks so cute.
Yes. We actually filmed at AnimeCon, which was my first time at AnimeCon.
How was that?
Amazing. And I fit right in. So it wasn't like weird or anything. Like I was dressed up as an anime girl. And Bix, you won't believe people. I thought it was so cool that Kalani and Stephanie's idea of this anime girl that they put together really was such a hit. Like as I was filming, people were like, oh my God, they were like, your outfit is so cute. Like, oh my God, you look so good. Can I get a picture with you? Or oh my God. Can I take a picture of you? And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like,
that's so cool.
It was very cool.
And it's
going to
be like cool for those people. Like when this movie comes out, if like this character becomes like a thing, you know, maybe yeah. like another movie, like you were there at the event to like start building a persona already.
Sky. Her name That's is Sky cool. Hoshi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's going to be, it's a lot of fun. And it was definitely very fun to be filming at AnimeCon. And yeah, one day of filming is down and we resume filming on Monday. So.
Cool. So yeah. exciting. Very oh, excited. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I can't
thanks,
wait
girl.
For it all.
Thank you. Thank you. And what you been up to, girly?
I've been up to, oh, you know what I did? I joined that booking service, that like calling
yes,
service for background
yeah.
talent.
Wait, you never answered me.
What?
I wanted to, I've like put you on the spot, on the podcast. No, you were on set and I was like, wait, yes. what is this?
Oh, did you ask me?
I was like, what is this?
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry.
Are
I'm like the
like,
worst person with like, I see things and then they don't exist to me anymore.
Yeah.
But so it was one of those things. I joined the booking service. You like set yeah. your availability and then they can like at any point be like, hey, you're booked for this. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It put me to the test because it was like very last minute. I got this email and it was like, you're booked for background for this thing tomorrow, all the way over here. I had to be there at like 5 a.m. and the night before that was the night class that I'm taking. That's from like 7 to 10:30 p.m.
Oh, God.
So I was like,
yeah.
oh, my God, then I'm going to have to drive home. I'm going to get home at like 11 or 11:30, depending on how late class goes. And then I got to wake up at like 3 and drive all the way to the fucking Pacific Palisades, all the way on like the coast.
Oh, God.
So it really shook me up and got me prepared for like being a part of this service and like needing
yes.
to know how to do that. But it was so much fun. We shot at the Pacific Palisades High School. And for those of you that don't know what the Pacific Palisades are, I didn't until like living in California.
Please
it's just
tell
like,
me because I don't even know. I'm just like,
it's
yeah.
It's like people who live in California are going to be so mad listening to me explain this. So I'm sorry. But like to me, how I can relay it is think of like Malibu. Very like rich, very like wealthy. Similar to that, it's Pacific Palisades. It's very like super rich, like really big houses, very like private, very exclusive. The high school was obviously fucking gorgeous. And like, okay. it's all like the indoor outdoor flow. Everything is outdoor on balconies with palm trees and all the lockers lined up outdoors.
This
and just like,
me- oh, wait, it's kind of like, you ever see a. Yeah, Good Trouble. The Fosters. Their high
Ooh,
school.
Oh, the Fosters. I did watch The Fosters, but I don't remember the school at all.
Oh.
But I could believe it because they were in California. So it was like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just outdoor and just like, it's so nice. Like, I wish we went to a high school like that. Everybody on like the set that I was talking to, I was like, this is so fucking crazy.
It's like I'd actually believe, probably like, would want to go to school.
Yeah. If it looked like this. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I just played like background, a high school student. So there was just like lots.
Wait, can you tell us for what show?
It was for a film. I believe the film is called Home. That may have been like a fake name.
I know what you're saying.
So I'm not sure. The plot of it, I don't think I'm allowed to, like, say anything, but okay, it's okay. Fine. Nobody told me that. Like, I didn't sign, like, an NDA or, like, anything like that. But I was only on set for one day out of, I think, 3 days that the background was there. So okay. I was, like, a last-minute call-in. So everybody else had a little bit better understanding of what was going on since they were there for 2 days. But I kind of just came in and was like, do this, do that. But it was just, like, a teen film, kind of like thrillery, kind of sci-fi-y, I'm led to believe. But it was a lot of fun to be on set. It had been a very long time since I've worked background. So it was...
Yeah, how was, like, so how was, number one, the hours? And I guess how was treatment on this set? Because I do find it's different depending on where yeah. who you work with.
The hours ended up being... incredible. My call time was 6 a.m., but I had to mm-hmm. do a COVID test on set before mm-hmm. the call time of 6. So I got there at like 5:15. It was like confusing because it wasn't the first time that background actors were on that day. They didn't have like a lot of explanation as to like where to go and what to do mm-hmm. because they had been doing it. So it was right. kind of just like, oh, do the same thing you did yesterday. And I'm like, I wasn't there yesterday. So it was kind of like nerve-wracking. Like it was also pitch black, 5 a.m. Like I had to like find a tent and take my COVID test and then find my way to holding and then find my way. And I'm literally telling you, I had my phone, my cell phone, like flashlight out because it was pitch black. They don't have like street lights in this like yeah. fancy area. But besides all of that, like the chaos of like getting checked in and making sure everything was okay, it was really great. Like the crew... you could tell that they like bonded with the background actors over yeah. the past couple of days. They were like,
oh, I love that.
Joking around. Everybody like yeah. knew each other by name, which yeah, it was really sweet. Even the like director and like camera operators and like the bigger, higher up people were really sweet and like interacting with us. And just like really, it was like a very kind, yeah. chill set. And I was wrapped by, I thought I was going to be there until like maybe like 4 or 5 or something, which is still early as shit. I would have been happy with that because you're sometimes there from
yeah
the earliest in the morning till like the night of that same day. But I was wrapped by like 2:30. We were like in the middle. We were setting up for a scene and we're all standing waiting. And they're like, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And then they left. And then they came back and they were like, actually, y'all are all wrapped. We're done. And I love when they like, sometimes I love when they cut things short and they're like, we actually yes. don't need this. I have had times where I was on set and I got pissed when I get cut because I'm like, I wanted to do that scene. Like I wanted to yeah, like have yeah, more yeah. time. But this time it was okay. We were there for long enough. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. But something I noticed and I immediately came home. I felt really like happy to be on set. It was really like, I haven't done it in so long since like pre-pandemic been on like an actual set. So it felt good and I felt like accomplished. But I came home feeling like extremely sad and just like, I don't know, like I was just like so overwhelmed with emotion. And I was talking to my boyfriend when I got home and I was saying like, it's so hard being an actor and like kind of like needing to feel like you have to fit into a certain box or type to feel comfortable. And I think that this like it kind of bleeds into like more personal mm-hmm. stuff that I'm feeling, but it was seeing everybody interact and like be friendly with one another and just like start conversations, not having met people before. It like really affected me because it's like hard for me to do that. It's really yeah. like I am not a person who can start a conversation out of nowhere. I have like really bad issues when it comes to that, that I think are like even heightened more now in more recent times. So like I just came home feeling so sad. Like I'm like surrounded by all these people like
yeah.
chatting and having fun and having a good time and just like connecting and bonding. And I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? This is my like long segue into the topic of our episode today, which yeah. is mental health in the acting community, and there are so many sides and facets of it. And that's just something that I experienced. Like, I was just like the juxtaposition of being so happy and feeling accomplished and feeling like, oh, I'm actually working. And then it being met with, oh, but you're not meeting this other standard of the backside. Like, I could do whatever on camera, I could act whatever. But when it comes to the networking, socializing, feeling comfortable in a group environment, it kind of negates all that other good stuff and takes over. That's what happened to me.
I have to say, I like heavily relate to that. So I feel like when I'm put in a situation where I don't really know people, and I mean like not a soul, and it's just me, I can very easily go inward, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like strike up conversation with a complete stranger. I've definitely can relate to that. And I think like even I've been in social situations where I have to consciously like force myself to talk to someone just because I'm so uncomfortable and I'm so nervous I'm going to say the wrong thing or I don't know where to start mm-hmm. in conversations. So I feel like I can definitely relate to that in a sense.
Yeah, it's hard. And like when you see people who just like have the gift of gab, mm-hmm. it can put you in a very like unsettling place of,
yeah,
is this career something that I'm going to be able to flourish in if I don't have this like set of social skills that other people do?
I think you can. I know so many actors who, I think you can. I wouldn't be so hard on yourself mm-hmm. in that sense. Like, I think maybe like, but when you think about it, I feel like that is a very intimidating situation. Like for like anyone, I know for me, like I need people to really come up to me and strike conversation. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of like how I am. If I get thrown onto a TV set, I'm telling you, I'm not just going to walk up to anyone and strike a conversation. So, and like you just said, you came in what, the second day?
Meanwhile, these people. That's what I was trying to remind myself as yeah. well. Like, you know, like, yeah, they had the day to bond.
But like, I think it's also okay to be like, yeah, this is pretty. It can be an intimidating environment, which is fair. And then on top of that, like, yeah, they just had a whole day ahead of you. So they got time to warm up to each other. And the second day, they're greeting people they already just worked with. Meanwhile, it's your first day. And you said it wasn't even a full day on set. So it's, you even have yeah. that full day. Really, I feel like get to know people. Like, oh, sit yeah. down and get to know people.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not. I have to like learn to give myself grace sometimes yeah. in like certain situations. But yeah, I think that that's like a very prominent factor of mm-hmm. the struggles that actors have of just like comparing yourself, not feeling good enough, smart enough, or anything enough, and just working on like, do you have any coping mechanisms or tactics that you use when you find your mind kind of like floating into that, like, oh no, she looks like she's gonna be better than me, or she sounds smarter than me, or I think she's gonna interpret this role better than, you know what I mean?
I feel like that also goes into like prepping for auditions, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're sitting in an audition room, you're sitting there amongst other actors that may or may not look like you. And it's very easy to sit there and look at the actor sitting across from you and being like, what if they like her look better? What if she interpreted the role, quote unquote, better? But there is no, I don't think better. I think that's a trap. I think when you get a script, what the casting director wants to see, and this is like, you're asking, what do I do? This is actually what I do. I remind myself these things because this is the truth. So when you compare yourself to people, those aren't real thoughts. That is, I think that's your anxiety talking. So those are anxious thoughts coming in, like, oh, what if this part, if, and like, those aren't real. Those aren't mm-hmm. facts, right? They're not in my, this is what I think, that they're not based in reality. The reality is casting directors, the facts are looking for a perspective. They're looking to see what your opinion is, right? So when you're talking, when you read your lines, they're not just looking for you to read the lines, but what's her perspective? Why is she saying what she's saying? Everyone is going to come in with a different interpretation of the line. Everybody's going to bring, they want you to see you bring life to the role, but everyone is going to bring a different type of life to the role. Wouldn't it be interesting if we all came in reading the same thing? But it's kind of interesting when we all come in and have a different perspective. I'm not sitting there before my audition and looking at the person to my right. Sometimes I would fall into that, but now I'm like, okay, Olivia, get into the actor's thoughts. And I found that helped me so much when I get ready for auditions. And I think that also helps with coping too, because I'm no longer comparing myself to the person to the right or to my left. I am in the actor's thoughts, okay? I'm thinking, what is my moment before? What is Gracie thinking right now? Not what is Olivia thinking, because then I'm going into the audition as Olivia. I'm not going in as the character. And I really think it's important to go in with your moment before, because that puts you into the role. And what are the actor's thoughts? And then what my teacher used to call it are bats. So when you notice bats flying in your head, and those are called
I love that.
Yeah, he goes, I love that. He knows, he goes, bats, that's comparing yourself to the actor beforehand. If you're on your phone, you're immediately on Instagram, you're already looking at yourself, comparing yourself to other people, bats. Those are bad actor thoughts. You want to get rid of those. And the way to get rid of those is to be in the character's thoughts, right? The character's mind. And let's say, like, what also helped me, for example, I just did my first day of filming and I was so incredibly nervous. So what I did so that I didn't get in my own head for the first scene is I said, why is Sky nervous right now? I used my nerves. I said, why is she nervous? And I'm like, wait, I don't know this. This is like unfamiliar to me. Like, where am I? Like, and I try to really channel that into Sky's thoughts, not Olivia's thoughts. And honestly, that helped me a ton. I used my nerves. I was nervous, but I was like, okay, Sky is nervous. So why would she be nervous right now? Or kind of channeling that energy into something that's going to be useful
to the character. Benefit the character,
I don't know if that was helpful. I just went on probably a 10-minute tangent.
No, that was so helpful. I think like the idea of perspective is so important because it's as long as you're, like when it comes to comparing yourself, it's as long as you're being authentic to your perspective of the character, then there's not anything that can be like judged. If you're just being like authentic and doing like, hey, I am the character, this is the perspective that I have, and this is how it's gonna come out of me, how I'm going to show it. There's not a judgment based on who did what better, because you're doing all completely different things. So I think that that is really helpful. And like, also just like a good tip for preparing for an audition and just preparing a role in general.
Yeah. And I think that's how, I hope I answered your question, but there was someone mentioned that like in the industry, you can't control the outcome, right? You can't, there's so much within the whole audition process that you have zero control over. But the one thing, as you could say actors, but just as people, the one thing we all have control over most of the time, I know sometimes you're like, that's not true, but our thoughts, right? That's the one thing we can try to control, right? But everything else is pretty much out of our control. But that's the one thing that we can, I should say, train. And it's important that I feel like we take care of our mind and we take care of our body, our instrument, because that's, as actors, that's vital. So you want to come in as your best self physically, mentally. So that's why we actually wanted to bring this episode about, because I feel like that's so, mental health is very important regardless of the career, but we're talking about acting, but especially as actors, it's so important to take care of your mind and your body, and because this is your main instrument. So you want to bring the best forward.
What we do as actors is feel stuff. Like we feel and we express emotions, and it could be ranging from like anything. Like it could be happiness, it could be grief, it could be trauma. It could range from like crazy things to very like mundane things. And it's hard. Like going to therapy sometimes is difficult. It's a task. And like, I think about that sometimes when I'm like, oh, I have this thing to do. And like some people are, I have this like idea in my mind that like when I go to therapy, like people, I don't know who the people are, honestly, but they're like, oh, you're not doing anything. Like, oh, that must be so simple. You're just sitting talking to somebody. And it's not like that. It's so difficult to like have to divulge emotion and feeling and honesty and all of the shit. And
yeah, like, honesty. Yeah.
And like, as an actor, like, that's just what you're doing constantly. So not taking care of your mental and physical health is going to like really like be like, that's going to be like so detrimental to your health. I was reading a article about, oh, it's just called fucking Mental Health for Actors. It was written by Mark Seton. And I'm not going to talk about like the whole article, but there's this one section of it. And it pretty much talks about the all the different areas in which actors experience struggle with mental health, depression, anxiety. Yeah. And one of the topics is training. And your training can be very traumatizing if it's not done properly.
Yes.
And I think that that's something that's really important that I don't hear a lot of people talk about in the acting space, of being trained by an acting professional who's not a mental health professional, who like forces you to tap into traumas and like connect to emotions that like, one, either just like aren't appropriate, but two, just like you're not professionally trained to one, bring that up in a safe way, and to two, then take them out of it
in a safe way. Bix, I just have to say, I love that you brought that up. Love, 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 love that. I talked about, I made actually a video on our, a video on our TikTok page about that. And I just want a quick shout out to Anthony Abison, who was my acting coach. He really takes care of the actors in the sense that he does not force you to speak about real life traumas. He feels like that is not beneficial to the actor, nor would that make you a better actor. So it's definitely something that we talk about in class, and something that he emphasizes on really protecting his actors and helping them grow in a really healthy and a safe way. So I really just love that you brought that up so much, because that's something that's important to me and to many actors. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, this article just like led me to so many different places that I was like, oh my God. And it led me to this like study that I found, and then this chick on TikTok who like works with resilience for actors. But like, just back to the training thing, like, you're totally right. Like, I remember in college, my acting teacher, like, and we would all joke about it because as like college kids, we're not, this is our college professor training us. Like, who are we to be like, oh, this isn't right? We would always joke, like, everybody always left that first period drama class crying, sobbing. Mm-hmm. It was like at least two people. Like, it's like, is it going to be you today? And like, looking back on that, one, knowing how emotionally unstable I was at that time, like, I can probably tie a lot of like emotional distress in that time period of mine to that acting class always forcing me to like open wounds that like didn't need to be, or at least weren't appropriate to be opened in a space like that.
Yes.
It's fucking scary and really difficult. So I feel like as an actor, it sucks because it's like, it's hard to be an advocate for yourself when you're in a position that you're constantly trying to get people to want you and cast you and act with you. So when you have something negative to say or a boundary to put up, it could be very intimidating. So I don't know, like, I guess working on research in classes, like really getting a good idea of who these teachers
are. Look at reviews.
Read reviews.
People talk about it.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, try to protect yourself, I feel. And it sucks that like you have to, but
that's so important.
So from this article, I found this study called the Australian Actors Wellbeing Study. I found like conflicting things. I believe it was published in 2014. But it was done on hundreds of actors. I think it's 782 actors, ranging from, I think it started around age 11, 12, all the way through like 80, 90. So like a huge range of ages. It was compiled by that same guy who wrote that article, Mark Seton, as well as Professor Ian Maxwell, Dr. Mariana Szabo. And it was done at the University of Sydney. And at this point in time, I'm going to sound like a Wikipedia article for a couple minutes.
That's fine.
At this time, there had been no study done regarding the health and well-being of actors. And this is in 2014. It could have been earlier. I think I saw an article from a little earlier, but there was another study with a similar name. So I don't, I'll cite my sources. So that's just crazy that there's never been a clinical study on this.
Yeah.
So they pretty much just like sent out this survey to like all of these people. They collected data that had to do with mental health, of course, but like also just regular everyday things like your financial, your like work, your family life, right, your coping mechanisms, just everything in overall.
Yeah.
And they found that actors are, I'm just going to give you like the key findings.
Yeah.
So actors are twice as likely to develop depression than any non-actor person, which is already like, oh my God. Only 14, this is another big thing for the mental health aspect. Only 14% of trained actors reported having received any training when it comes to financial management within this career.
Which, as we know, if you are financially, severely financially unstable, that could lead to
many mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And more than 20 respondents report that even with additional work outside of their acting, their total gross income is still well below the poverty line. So that's a lot of people. That's a whole lot of people. And out of this like whole group of these actors, one quarter of all of them say that they have experienced debilitating anxiety from a role that required a lot of like physical and emotional, psychological availability from them. And also a quarter of them have experienced harassment and bullying in the workplace that have then resulted in more mental health issues.
Right.
So like a quarter of these people, of like hundreds of people, like that's such a big chunk of people that are dealing with debilitating anxiety, like not making money, working their asses off, harassment, bullying, like, and there's like barely any protections, even if you're SAG, like.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, bullying among the workplace, right? Bullying, yeah, sexual harassment, yeah, there.
You all heard about Lea Michele on the set of Glee.
Yeah.
But also, and, yeah, like harassment, like Dan Schneider, like.
Yeah, I just think.
Harvey Weinstein, the whole shebang.
But that's why it's so important to have conversations about it, right? Because if we're not having conversations, we're not bringing awareness to it. And that's kind of insane that I guess like the most that you said, what, the study wasn't done until 2014?
Yeah, like there had been no
data
collected on it before.
Yeah. But that's why it's important really to also like, and I feel like that's where it goes into like coping mechanisms and, but like healthy ones.
Right.
Healthy coping mechanisms and things that will help you during your journey as an actor, because it can be tough and it be, as Bix mentioned, physically, but also very emotionally taxing, taking on different roles, having to be, you have to be emotionally available, even if it's hard. So I think being really aware of your emotions. And I think to bring that awareness, like Bix, I'm not sure if you mentioned therapy. I think therapy is an important one, whether it be seeing a therapist, whatever you need, a psychologist, journaling, that could be accompanied by that, or alone, if just writing down your thoughts, some form of art outside of acting. So whether that be drawing, whether that be painting, just something that brings your heart and your soul, just some type of peace. And then like meditating. I know I try to meditate a little bit in the morning. Sometimes I don't do it every morning. I would be lying, but I do it once in a while.
That's good still.
And also, which is so important, and I feel like it may be obvious, but, or it may seem small, but celebrating your small victories. Yeah. And I think that really falls into like, it's obviously so much easier to be harder on yourself. I say obviously because I feel like so many of us are. And I feel like I hear it so much and I can be hard on myself as well. But I feel like celebrating my little wins really, it just makes me feel so much better about myself too. And then I'm having better conversations in my mind about myself when I am celebrating those little victories. And with that, it gives me hope and it gives me a little bit more drive. How do you feel about that? Or
yeah, I feel like reframing things is important. It can be like really difficult if you're not a optimistic type of person, like off the jump, you know? So just like trying to figure out ways to frame things in a more optimistic way. And it's obviously not easy because, like, you know, being somebody who is a little bit more of, I wouldn't actually say I'm pessimistic, but I am just very like hard on myself and like, fuck this and that. And like, I love to like, you know, talk shit and complain and be like down on myself and self-deprecating. So like, as a person who is like that, it is difficult to do that. But I found that ever since I tried to implement that, I don't always succeed. But the same, like booking a background role, usually I would be like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna go fucking do this background shoot and it sucks. I gotta wake up and eat their chicken food and I gotta go and do this. Yeah. But like reframing it to be like, oh no, like I get to go on a set. I get to meet people. I get to like listen in and like overhear and oversee and maybe learn something new and just like be in a good environment. There you go. I don't need to keep putting a negative spin on it. I've found that to be really helpful. But yeah, it's difficult with coping mechanisms because something else that I read in this study is, I didn't read the whole study, it was like 45 pages, I have to read the whole thing. But like something I came across was they were talking about the idea of warm-up routines and how actors will do like, or a singer, like you'll do a vocal warm-up, you'll do a stretch, you'll do maybe like a mind game or something, you know, like actors have all those little things to get them prepared. But nobody talks about or implements, or for the most part, like cooling down techniques. So they were also like asking in the survey what like a cool down technique would be. Like before you perform, before you do a show, before you do a performance, you warm up. What do you do at the end? And most people say socialize, you drink, you smoke weed, you like do drugs, you do this, whatever you can to like, one, celebrate if that's what you're doing it for, or two, to escape. And because it's not done in a healthy way, then that has led to like a lot of actors having substance abuse issues.
Yes.
Because they don't have those coping mechanisms. So it's something that like I've thought about in theory, like in passing. But to actually think of the idea of, oh, wow, why don't acting institutions, and I'm sure some places do, but like, why don't acting institutions or colleges, schools, studios, whatever, come up with techniques for breaking character, for coming out of character? So it's not just...
That's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all of this work to like emotionally invest yourself into something that could be really difficult or traumatizing to you. And then the show wraps and everybody's like, all right, peace, see ya. Like, see ya at the bar. Let's go do some fucking shots. And then you're still in it. And like, obviously this is for like characters that are more asking and like deep and hard and whatever. Yeah, yeah. But like, you hear of these actors who roles fuck them up. And it's because...
We've seen it.
You get like mixed up, your emotions are all overlapping, you don't know what's what. So I just thought that that was like a really interesting just thing for the acting community to think about and maybe start implementing in your own process. Because I know for me, like after I do a, this is like obviously a much smaller scale, but like after I do a self-tape, I'm just done. I'm done and I close it, I'll do whatever I do, send it in. But like, I don't do anything to actively and intentionally separate myself from acting. And
I kind of wanted to, I love that. Like, I don't know if this is what you mean, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but do you also mean kind of moving on from the audition? Because I know that used to be
that as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Getting that used stuck. To be
a flaw of mine. Yeah. Bix, like, I used to, and I would like to say, I feel like I've grown a lot from this, but I used to obsess over the roles. So I used to like send in the audition and then have a hard time kind of moving on. So I would like rewatch my audition like over and over and over and over again and like literally nitpick and like it's kind of like psychotic. It kind of feels after a while. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, and you really do go crazy. So it got to the point where I'm not exaggerating, maybe for 6 months, which happened this year, for 6 months, I didn't act. I didn't do anything pertaining to acting. I stopped taking classes. I like took a break completely, or maybe I was taking classes, but like that was it. Like I wasn't auditioning. I was kind of like, bleh. And I think it's because A, I was burnt out. B, I was obsessing. I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So then after I took that break, and I think focusing on things that brought me joy. So I think that's really important. And I hate to say like it's a distraction. Like I don't like that word, but just as an actor, when we also bring ourselves to a role and these auditions, I feel like we have to come as a whole person. So having the life experiences outside of acting, because also that brings color to roles. But yeah. Besides that, I just think being a person outside of being an actor. So I found like that was helpful. So just doing things again that just made me happy, whether that be hanging out with my friends, reading a book or watching shows or getting new hobbies. Or for me, it was like just working out, like, and just focusing on something else that genuinely made me happy. I think that's very important too. But then as I got back into auditioning again, how I moved on for the roles, like I try to have a positive take that what's going to be mine is going to be mine. And having like affirmations, like these things really did help me like kind of move on from auditions. And again, not to say distract myself, but just having other things outside of acting that were also important to me. And even this podcast, like just things focusing on other things besides that one audition, because that can become unhealthy, like obsessing.
Right. And like that within itself is so important, just like that you were able to take the break, because I know like that's really hard already, just like giving yourself the validation that that's okay without, because you know, like the idea of like, you call out of work and then the whole day you can't sit and relax on your day off because you're just guilty that you called out of work. Like, I feel like that happens a lot for actors who like, they just get fucking burnt out and they need to take a break. They need to relax. They need to reconnect with, their other aspects of their life. So yeah, I think that that's great that you were able to do that for yourself and succeed at it, and you know, like have those experiences with your friends and your family and like new hobbies. It's so important to be able to do that because it's not easy.
Not at all. And I just think the reason why I hate saying this, because I know that like with mental health it can be way deeper than just like have a good workout and you'll feel great. Like I understand that is not the same for everyone. I do, but I always just, I for me, just speaking on my experiences, I do find like getting out and taking a walk, going on hikes, just like connecting with nature. And I don't know, for me, that really, really helps my mental health. And that makes me feel really good. But I do understand that like mental health isn't black and white and it's not going to work like that for everybody. But I know for me, that's definitely something that is important to me. So I do find that helpful. So maybe
it's great that like you're able to, you know, you were able to find your thing and it's like, your comfort. You're like, oh, okay. You start to feel the bubbling up or the fizzing of your anxiety or your stress or whatever. You have that thing that you're like, oh, I know I love a hike. I know I love to go for a walk. So yeah. So like, I think that that's so great. Like other people, maybe it's you love to color or you love to knit. Like you can find those safety blankets for yourself and just try to always find a way to like access those things, like when you're feeling like crazy. Because the psychosis thing, bro, I auditioned for a commercial and it was two lines. I'm like holding a tray and I'm like champagne, and because I had nobody helping me because it wasn't a dialogue, I just had to do my lines. I had free will to stay there and do it for as long as I wanted. I truly blacked out. I went into a state of like no return and I kept doing it for so long that the sun went down. And that's why I had to stop, because the sun was like casting a shadow from my window. And when I went back to watch the tapes, I had like 40 videos, and each video was about like 10 minutes of like, I mean, I don't know, the math is probably off, but it was just like me doing the take multiple times within one video, of just like me doing it and then breaking and then doing it. And then, so these videos probably had like 30 takes each. And then I have like 40 videos. I'm like adding up the time. I literally was doing it for like 3 hours, and I was watching it. It really like struck me that I was like, it seemed like very like manic and hyper focused and like scary. I need to like set a timer or something, because you just get like,
you kind of lose yourself.
Crazy. Yes, lose yourself. Like, I had no concept of time. But the toxic thing about this story is I got put on hold for it. So now I'm going to think to myself, stress yourself out, because when you stress yourself out, you might get a call.
You get put on hold. Yeah. So, no, but yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do understand. You're like, wait a minute. But this got me results.
Yeah, but look at the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the insanity that I felt was definitely not okay.
And I think it's important, though, that we do check ourselves, because, and that's another thing, like as an actor, like having to hold yourself accountable, and there's that too.
There's so many stakes, and the stakes are all like whatever they mean to you, because you're the only one. Like, you don't have a boss telling you what to do. Like, it's you, you're the job, you're the guy, and all this. So that makes like all the stakes high.
Absolutely. And I think like another thing too, which I read about in an article, is like, I do understand there's also, I know with acting, it can be toxic, because going back to the comparing, like comparing yourself with different body images and how do people look, and you do have the pressure, like if I was quote unquote prettier, would I have booked this role? It's hard to not compare yourself. But I think what's important is just making sure you're healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Being healthy does not equate to being quote unquote thin. So comparing yourself to these other people, there's no such thing as perfect. There's no requirement. And I think it's important that we don't try to like achieve this like perfection that I feel like sometimes we see in the media. Like, I know that when I was younger and I would look at these other actors and I'm like, oh, maybe if my nose was a little bit thinner, like maybe I would have booked the role or this or that. But I think it's a matter of just like realizing like, we're all beautiful. We're all very unique in our own way. And I think that's what makes this profession too, which is like a beautiful thing, like seeing that representation on TV. And the beautiful thing is seeing all these different people, and that it's okay that we don't necessarily all look the same too. And I think also like managing that kind of like expectation in your mind as well.
Yeah, that's so important.
I'm not sure if I just like talked in circles, but
no, you totally like made sense. Like, it's
okay. It's like, did that come out like English? Okay.
Yeah, like, and that's like a whole like conversation for a whole nother day. Like, we could do a whole episode on that, even, of just like the expectations in media and in just all facets of every career now. It's like not even the entertainment industry. It's like bled into like every aspect of the world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just expectations of what you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to sound like, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to, and it's just like,
yeah, it's wild.
It's drowning.
Because, yeah, we could get into this another time, but like, I just, yeah, because I remember I was like, I got into this accident when I was younger, and then like, I have this little thing in my nose, and it's not, I know it's not obvious to other people, but then it would get to me, and then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, if I, this didn't happen, what I, but I feel like that's like a whole conversation for another time.
Yeah, because it's like,
that can go, yeah.
It's hard enough to break your own bad self-talk, your like hateful self-talk, but the fact that you not only have to break it within yourself, but then you also need to deal with all of the external factors of you know, the society that we live in. So like, it's hard. It's like not an easy thing, but of course, in the world we live in, we're going to be hard on ourselves. And of course, we're going to compare ourselves. It's just like, it's going to happen, and it sucks, and it's not always our fault. So like, also, I feel like give yourself grace too. Like, when you find these moments of like not being able to be positive,
No, I agree. And yeah, that could probably be a whole episode for another time. Like also like the image expectations and acting and learning to really like try to hone in and not compare yourself. And
yeah,
I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, that's something we can talk about a whole other episode. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because that kind of reminded me with the whole like mental health. And I do understand that body image definitely takes a toll as well. I just wanted to acknowledge that. I feel like we covered a lot. I'm just like, wow, I don't know what else really to cover at this time.
No, I think so too.
Without doing it like carelessly. So I feel like we really like covered everything really well. And if you guys have any like thoughts we talked about or your experience in the acting journey or some tips on like how you handle and maintain like your mental health, please, please feel free to message us. We also have an email, liveinbix@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on our Instagram at @itmwithliveinbix. In the bio, we have our link tree to take you to all the other social media platforms. But yeah, we really appreciate you listening and supporting us. Bix, do you have anything else you want to add?
Definitely send us a message if you have anything to say. I feel like one of the most important takeaways of this episode should be kind of to talk about it and to like be vocal and to have these conversations. And I feel like a lot of actors, because it's such a isolating career, that we internalize a lot, and we don't, as much as like it's our job to feel things and connect with people, that sometimes in our personal lives makes us as people the opposite. Try to find somebody that you feel comfortable talking with, maybe somebody who's also an actor, somebody who's experiencing similar things, because that's just how everybody gets better, really, is just like not being quiet about things that are bad. I am such an advocate for like talking about things that are bad to get them to be better. And this is like definitely falls into that category.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better, Bix. But thank you again so much for your support. Please don't be shy. Rate, review us. We really, really appreciate it. And we will catch you guys in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And also shout out to our editor, Rebecca.
Yes.
She is an angel on earth and has been doing such a great job with our episodes. So we and Liv can protect our mental health and not want to die editing episodes.
Yes.
So yeah, she's literally a lifesaver. So thank you to Rebecca. And yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into The Moment with us.
Our amazing cover art is by @hyperjuice on Instagram.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @itmwithliveinbix.
Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, if you're feeling extra generous, we won't hate it if you rate and review.
Bye! Bye.